Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, your trusted source for wisdom on the universal principles and the transformative magic integrating manifestation with the people that you support. I'm your host, Judy, and I'm thrilled to embark on this enlightening journey with you. In every episode, we'll unravel the timeless secrets of the universe, explore the art of conscious creation, and dive deep into manifestation therapy's incredible potential. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your quest for a more abundant and fulfilling life for yourself and your clients, this podcast will support your growth, inspiration, and empowerment. So let's ignite the power within, align our thoughts with the energy we desire, and be our best potential. Welcome to Manifestation Therapy's podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Manifestation Therapy's podcast. Today, I want to talk about intuition. Intuition is one of our most amazing processes as humans. When I'm brain spotting with my clients, I often witness their intuitive knowing surfacing within the healing or expansion experience that we're doing. I've come to acknowledge that brain spotting, it strengthens our ability to connect with the intuitive abilities. I can literally see as it's coming in, it's the part of the body that is activated when I ask where they notice it, and they just kind of find this peaceful calm knowing it's intuition. And when we're tapping into our intuitive knowledge, we're actually accessing a deeper level of our universal knowledge with the collective consciousness. That's kind of woo-woo belief, but stay with me here. The universal principles are in action. So there's the law of divine oneness, which is collective consciousness. It's how we connect to everything. It's also how our body connects. It's how internally our mind, our spirit, and our body connect intuitively to direct us in a knowing path. Intuition is the subtle energy within us. It's always there. It's the law of vibration. It moves, it shifts. It lets us know what we are supposed to do or could do. We attune to those subtle vibrations within us with the law of resonance, which supports our knowing with a particular path or action. And then we have the law of correspondence, which is activated with our intuitive knowing when we reflect our external world with our inner world and the insight towards our feelings, thoughts, and experiences. So intuition guides us through the law of cause and effect to provide us with choices and knowing that will align with our actions to get our desired outcome. And then, of course, there's everyone's favorite, the law of attraction, which provides us with alignment for our intuitive insights in support of our growth and well-being. When we intuitively focus on people, situations, or opportunities, we're actually resonating with our desired manifestations without planning the logic of how. And of course, the law of gender. The law of gender is pretty important with intuition because it involves receptivity, introspection, and flow of our feminine energy with the balance of us acting on our intuitive knowing. So we can gain structure and confidence and trust in our intuitive energy with our masculine side. And then there's this balance, which is the key for intuition to be honored, of our feminine energy, which is our nurturing and the actual knowing without the logic. So the harmony of the two provides a balance, and it helps us trust our knowing, our intuition. I was recently at this workshop. My best friend found it and we went, and it was supposed to be like a kind of collective of women coming together and learning about our intuition and how to trust it. I thought it was kind of interesting to go. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great experience. It was interesting, and the women were of various backgrounds, but admittedly, we were like all white. We were privileged women, and we were basically seeking connection and support to understand. A lot of them had followed their intuition in their life and made some pretty big life decisions, which I have too, admittedly. But I have to admit, I was not a fan of the host. Not of her personally, but of what she was teaching the women in the room. I think she's, don't get me wrong, I think she had positive intentions. I think she's a genuinely caring and she's definitely spiritual and psychic woman who's, and she's building a business. She's wanting to support others and, you know, make a living. But from the beginning of her discussion regarding the brain and intuition, my own neurodivergent brain was like, what the F is going on? She was basically calling intuition instinct and my brain couldn't handle it. But I managed to sit and listen to everybody's story. But my skeptic was surfaced and she botched a description of the brain emotion body connection. And when I tried to explain just gently, I was corrected. So anyway, something I'm pretty passionate about is the brain emotion body connection. It's how I treat my clients. It's how I support their change. And I'm pretty well educated in it, I have to admit. It's one of my passions and it's my purpose. So to understand how things work, I've always had to do that in order to get ahead, in order to accept things. I've always had to understand the how, not necessarily the how in manifestation and getting my desired goals. But when something works the way it does, I have to look into it and figure out why did it do that? Okay, so the how of our brain, our emotional and intellect, it plays a role with partnership in our body and our nervous system to do the things we do, to attract the experiences we have. It's not woo-woo, it's not magic, it's actually biological. So at first I kept telling myself to push aside my skepticism. Perhaps I was focused on my ego and not being open-minded. I tried to like clear all those kind of criticisms that was going on, my inner critic. I tried to silence it, that part of me. But then she spoke about just throw away your brain and thoughts. None of it matters. It was all fight or flight and had nothing to do with your heart and following your heart and intuition. And it kept getting worse. From the brain, she basically went into telling everyone present that they were wrong. Everything that they had believed previously about spirituality or guidance was wrong. Even the belief patterns that may have supported their guidance and their connection. And I tried to tell myself to just listen and be a good guest and not raise my voice. And it actually worked at first. I was doing great for about 30 minutes. And then it no longer worked. I was cringing. It was way too much. The advocate in me, that part of me, just needed to speak up. So I basically let her know I disagreed. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't argue. I didn't defend. I just couldn't stop myself. And I had to say that I didn't agree with what she was saying. The advocate in me was demanding to be released. It was basically my intuition. I couldn't remain silent while all these women, there wasn't that many, maybe there was 10, who could, they were craving knowledge and support and they were being shown a wrong way. It's also unethical in my field to tell someone their beliefs are wrong. I don't push my beliefs on people. I don't even tell them my beliefs. I support what their beliefs are and how they can move forward to their goals that way. So I'm actually kind of impressed, as all I really did was state that I didn't agree. But I had to give permission to that part of me, that voice, to be free, because I don't do that enough. And I'm trying to really work on it and accept that I do have a voice and it's important. In reflection, I keep trying to come up with some positives from the workshop. I always try to flip to the positives, you know? There was also constant man bashing, and I'm so not a fan of that. Men are wonderful, purposeful beings. I have men in my life who've supported me, and I've supported many who were loving, intuitive, and very resilient. We don't need to block or diminish men to be better women. Instead, we need to celebrate the good ones, the ones that we nurture and love. I have friends who are raising men to be intuitive, to be loving, to be good humans. We have to understand that there are good women out there and there are good men out there. And there are also some that have had really bad experiences and bad teaching. We don't need to compartmentalize men into this box of toxicity to make ourselves feel better. I get it. Many women have experienced trauma from our patriarchal society, myself included. I don't support the patriarchal system of inequality, nor do I believe that men are better than women. Basically, I know it's a scary world out there, but we can learn from our experiences. We don't have to put everybody in a box. I'm a nature-loving hippie at heart. I see the strength in matriarchy and its intuitive wisdom, balancing emotion with practicality. But intuition is not gender-based. The politics of patriarchy versus matriarchy don't need to define our intuition. Both men and women are intuitive, and when we deny men's intuition, we're reinforcing gender imbalances. The patriarchal system pushes harmful stereotypes. It labels men as rational and women as emotional or intuitive, and it undervalues both traits. So intuition instead could be equally recognized for men and women with a balanced approach to knowledge. Intuition comes from the brain's ability to process vast amounts of information. It draws from our experiences. Research shows that intuition isn't tied to gender. It's part of our human nature. It's part of who we are. Intuition is not about emotion any more than it is just about reason and logic. It's a perfect balance with the law of gender, where the energy from both feminine and masculine processes in the brain and the body. So, I just want to say, both men and women are intuitive. So, I'm doing this podcast to affirm that intuition arises from our brain's ability to process so much information subconsciously, drawing on experiences, observations, and patterns that we might consciously be aware of. Intuition is linked to our ability to access deeper processing systems in our brain, and it's not bound to any gender. And then there's intuition and instinct. So instinct is often confused as intuition, and it's not the same thing. Both connect to our brain, body, and emotions and behaviors, but they serve very different purposes. Instinct is, think of it as more primal. It's related to our survival responses, but intuition guides us towards our insight and future decisions. So these experiences come from different areas of our brain and fulfill distinct roles. So understanding their differences is pretty essential. I won't go too deeply into instinct because this is an intuition podcast, but we'll define it for the purpose of this podcast. So instinct, it's our innate hardwired behavior triggered by external stimuli. So something happens and instinct turns on. It's activated in our amygdala, our reptilian brain. The brain stem of the amygdala is part of the limbic system. It's like this little almond-shaped part at the back of your brain. This area of the brain, when it gets triggered, it sends an immediate message to our body so that we can react if there's a threat or a need. It's automatic. It bypasses our conscious thought, and it's for the purpose of survival. The amygdala, I have to say, is one of my favorite areas of the brain. It plays such a significant role in processing emotions. That's how it remembers things, is through emotion, like fear, anxiety. It triggers our fight, flight, freeze, fawning response. And it quickly evaluates any potential dangers. It remembers things as threats and is activated through emotion or the body's five senses because it wants us to survive and avoid the threat, even if it perceives it's a threat and it's not an actual threat, which is important to remember because that's what happens a lot with trauma. We get triggered and are activated even in situations that kind of aren't reasonable or logic. And that's because the logic part of our brain goes offline when the amygdala becomes activated to send the body a message to survive. Okay, so intuition, on the other hand, integrates deeper layers of our subconscious knowledge. It activates from past emotional experiences. It sends body signals to guide us through more complex decisions and situations. By recognizing the difference between instinct and intuition, we can better understand when our body is urging us to act for survival and when it's guiding us through subtle inner wisdom to make aligned, intentional choices. So intuition is more about our inner knowing, and a lot of people talk about it as your gut feeling. It's based on the integration of our past experiences, our emotional knowledge, and our subconscious pattern recognition. It's the knowing without knowing why. It's not immediate for survival. It's an inner guidance system that emerges through our accumulated wisdom and connection to our higher authentic self. So intuition, it actually involves multiple regions of the brain. It's foundationally in the subconscious mind and actually maintains connection through the limbic system and the prefrontal cortex, which is our adult executive functioning brain. The prefrontal cortex is higher order thinking and decision making. It's where our impulse control is developed, which doesn't develop till you're 25. During intuitive processing, it doesn't necessarily reason through information. It receives instead the integration through the working memory of our past experiences and emotional input. So where instinct puts the prefrontal cortex offline, intuition accesses its deeper functioning. Within the limbic system, there's a part that's called the hippocampus. And that part allows us to recall past experiences that can inform intuitive decision making. The hippocampus, it's part of the brain that draws patterns that are stored in our memory to help us make quick, informed judgments. This region is also part of the insular cortex and processes our visceral sensations, or our gut feelings. It helps our brain interpret signals that occur in our body to contribute to our intuitive experiences. So if you notice, I keep calling it a gut feeling. People think of it as this like woo-woo magical, it's in my gut, but it's actually biological. So our body manifests intuition through subtle somatic responses. Unlike the strong physical sensations of instinct, intuition can be a gentler knowing. So it shows up in our body like physical sensations of gut feelings, or some people talk about heart opening, or tingling sensations like goosebumps and hair standing up when something seems right or wrong for us. So these sensations are actually tied to how our brain and our nervous system are processing the intuitive information. It's not magical, it's not woo-woo, it's biological. Because we also need intuition to survive. It's part of our human experience. Many people connect the experience with this knowledge base of alternative energy and healing from the chakra system. And that's okay too. It's a good way of explaining it. But it is biological. It's brain-body connection. When we think of the intuitive gut feeling, that is the enteric nervous system. Sometimes it's referred to as the second brain because it's so dense with neurons and it communicates directly with our brain through our vagus nerve. This area is of our bodies, it responds to instinctual signals of excitement or dread, as well as the intuitive signals to align us with calm and ease when we make a decision. Past experiences and cues in our environment process information before we're even consciously aware of them, because the gut can bypass conscious thought while it accesses information. Our bodies, our brains are truly fascinating, isn't it? And it happens so fast, we're often not even aware of it. So the gut area energetically in alternative practices is known as the solar plexus chakra or the manipura. I hope I said that right. It governs personal power, decision-making, and confidence. Sounds like a particular area of the brain, doesn't it? It's our executive functioning, but it's in the body. So we feel more secure in our intuition, decision-making, and trust-taking action without second-guessing when this energetic center is balanced. We also feel these things when we're making decisions based on our brain-stored knowledge base. There's also this common expression, follow your heart with intuition. When you feel a strong intuitive connection, the heart may feel expansive, open, or warm. And that's the heart area. It's not the same as an instinctual heart-pounding form fear of excitement. Instead, it's more like an emotional resonance that signals whether something aligns with your deeper values or emotional truth. The heart's an important organ with its own form of intelligence, and it's referred to as the heart-brain connection. Thousands of neurons in the heart send signals to the brain, and it allows for reactions to the brain's signals with emotional experience, which is why you may experience that feeling of expansion when something feels positive and constriction when it feels negative. It's not magic. It's about energy and our biological systems. And again, I see it all the time with my brain spotting clients when they're feeling expansion towards something. Usually when they're feeling the emotions of love, joy, gratitude. So in alternative health, the understanding of the heart area is linked to the heart chakra energy center, or Anahata. Its primary focus is love, compassion, and emotional balance. And when we're experiencing intuition with emotions that guide our passion, our caring connection towards others, as well as making decisions that are heart-centered, this part of our energy system becomes activated. So when you feel intuitive guidance in your heart, it can help you tune into what is emotionally true for you. This type of knowing might be backed by logical reasoning, but rather it's by a deep feeling of alignment or inner peace. So a balanced heart chakra allows you to trust in the emotional intelligence without over-rationaling or dismissing your feelings. Some people describe a tingling sensation, often in their arms, legs, or scalp. And when they experience this, it's an intuitive insight. It's your body's nervous system becoming highly attuned to incoming information, with all these signals moving through the body so fast that energy is shifting. You're literally feeling that tingling sensation as a result of your brain sending rapid signals through your nervous system. It's your body's way of activating awareness so that it can put your attention where it needs to go. Energetically, tingling sensations can be defined as the flow of energy through the various chakra centers, like the crown chakra or Sahasrara. That's my notes, and I probably butchered that, but it's and also the third eye chakra or the Ajna. The crown chakra is located at the top of our head, and it's considered the gateway to our higher consciousness. When it's open, it helps us receive intuitive insights. And then similarly, the third eye located between the brows, it's like right here, is linked to wisdom, intuition, and inner vision. When these chakras are active and balanced, we're more likely to experience a heightened sense of intuitive knowing and a recognition of truth. You don't have to believe in the chakra system of our bodies to understand intuition, but it's an interesting explanation of what is happening. And I feel like it's becoming more and more accepted these days, Western-wise. What's mostly important here is that when we become mindful about how our body is responding in various situations, we can then align with our intuitive decision-making and reach our goals a lot faster. It's about the energy of various systems in our bodies working together to drive our decision-making in a positive direction. So intuition comes from integrated brain processing involving recognition, emotional memory, and subconscious thought. Our brain is constantly processing subtle cues and tapping into stored knowledge, even when we're not aware of it. When intuition becomes activated, the brain is communicating through the body's nervous system in the form of guiding the energy through us. It even taps into the parasympathetic nervous system, responsible for reflection and relaxation, to activate those sensations of calm certainty. So those who are open to chakra as energy centers in the body, they can find it really helpful to tune into their intuition through their solar plexus, their heart, their third eye, and crown chakras, and able to connect with a higher level of their emotional intelligence, make decisions, and find deeper insight with higher wisdom. But those who are not open to the chakras, they simply need to work on becoming somatically mindful of what happens in their body in order to enhance their intuitive ability. Neither one is right, neither one is wrong. Our emotional response to intuition can be charged with energy, but it's often less intense than instinct because rather than being about survival, it's about purpose and direction. Feelings linked to intuition may be certainty, calmness, also doubt, or desire. These emotions are not directing survival. It's not about fight or flight. It's about making the choices that align with our deeper felt wisdom, potential, and purpose. It is a quiet inner voice that provides emotional clarity. So when we experience intuition, our behaviors are more deliberate based on the internal guidance system that comes from reflection and sensing our needs. Our behaviors here are not threat responses. They are not reflexive and automatic, but rather are chosen actions based on our inner knowing. It's a connection of our brain areas and our body. It's not logic, not rational overthinking, but just a quiet compulsion to do something. Like, a person may make a life decision based on their gut feeling or be compelled to go somewhere, connect with someone, or do something even if logic suggests otherwise. That's intuitive. Where does this knowledge for intuition come from? That's an interesting consideration. I firmly believe it isn't a simple answer. There has been research done that we pass down traumatic experiences through our DNA to our future generations, that what our ancestors experienced, we carry within our body's DNA in the form of stored knowledge, nervous system responses, health, and wellness. There's also been research showing that what a woman experiences when she is pregnant will be passed through her into the infant, even as far as aversions of smells or sounds, she experiences stressors. So this opens up a lot of possibilities for that stored knowledge in our brains and bodies that lead our intuition. Maybe we're accessing all of that. The brain is an amazing part of our body. We've only discovered some of the complexity of our consciousness, our memory formation, and our emotional processes. The brain has a vast network with billions of neurons, intricate connections, and the exact way that they produce thoughts, emotions, and actions are areas of ongoing research. So although we are making substantial progress with the brain, it remains one of the most complex and least understood organs in the human body. Is it possible that our intuition comes from not only our experiences, but those of the individuals who came before us genetically? I would say yes. It's a consideration. Anyway, we cannot really exclude our brain activity with regards to our intuition. It's not useless. It all has a role to play in our energetic health, in our spiritual and healing journey. Our brain is what drives our emotion. Your brain is what steers your body. Your brain connects you with attachment, with hormones, with cognitions and emotions, to others and to yourself. The brain steers the nervous system. Spiritually, many people connect with guides, angels, people who have passed over in order to intuitively guide their decision-making process. This was also thrown away during the workshop I attended, and it was replaced with the only intuition is you and your higher self. Higher self is this version of our consciousness with a deeper felt spiritual essence. It's the wisdom and universal truth of us. We can think of it as a version of us that is authentic, it's beyond ego, has no fears or societal conditioning. It gives us a broader perspective of our higher self, which guides us to our best potential and aligns us with purpose and growth. Many systems believe that our highest self is our intuition. It's how we connect to the mindful way we can move forward into self-actualization and live in accordance with our highest values. Some believe we need to connect to this part of us through meditation, prayer, or spiritual practices. It doesn't really matter how you view this part of you. It's already there. It's already you. It is you. So you don't need to view your higher self as this separate entity to connect with your intuition. Simply allow the awareness of your body, mind, and spirit. That part I agree with. I'm not so sure I... Either way, respecting your intuition is in part accepting the connection of the role of your brain with the sensation of your body, the pull from the spirit of all this energy. Learning to grow your intuition involves allowing your brain to guide you through your thoughts into emotional experience and further into what your body needs to experience to signal an action or a behavior. Each in part serves to lead you to your best potential. What happens when we don't follow our intuition? We don't necessarily have to follow our intuition to get to the ultimate goal. And sometimes our goals are so, like we may have a goal to have a child, but we may also have a goal to have the career, and we may not see how they can come together. So our intuitive knowledge may be leading us towards the ultimate goal of happiness, but we may detour to get to a different area that also supports another goal. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but basically there are no mistakes. We may just put something off for a while in order to meet another goal to get to the ultimate goal. Hopefully this has all made the differences between instinct and intuition pretty clear, as well as the connection of our brain, our nervous system, our body, and our spirit, our energy overall, to reach our highest potential through intuition. Now you can understand that, like most of our experience, intuition is activated by our entire system rather than just one area. It's not some magical outside energy. It's within us. And thus, it can impact our internal and external energetic experiences. We need to learn to trust our intuition and to follow it peacefully. Be your best potential through building an awareness of the connection with your intuition. But don't forget to like and share. You can always send me a message or comment. If you have any questions, I would love to answer them. Be your best potential. Manifestation Therapy.